Father, I want to thank you this evening that we can be here together again in your name. We can invite your Holy Spirit.
Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Image of this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Lord. And we bring our relationships, Lord, the ones we're in or the ones we're hoping to be in and the ones we're going to be in going forward, Lord. We lay them all at your feet, and we pray that Holy Spirit, tonight you would come and equip us, Lord, for that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. And then before I'm going to share just a little bit, I'm going to ask Mia Shin. She is somewhere over there. She's going to come forward and just share a little bit of her story. For those who don't know, this is Mia. Hello, Mia. And she leads all of our student small groups on campus. She doesn't lead all of them individually, but she oversees them all for the ladies. And as Yakubis, or her husband is on the way, but she's okay without him. So,
hi, everybody. Philip thinks it's very funny that I wrote a speech for this because it's only 10 minutes, but I'm not as good as him yet. So, okay. He asked me to just share a bit about my testimony in terms of relationships. And like any good testimony, I'm going to tell you everything that I did wrong. So, first of all, just to give you a bit of background about where I come from. I got saved when I was still very young, when I was in primary school. So I always knew that I was going to serve the Lord. I didn't completely know how to yet. I was still useless at it, but I'd made that choice. But I grew up in a slightly dysfunctional home. My parents only got divorced when I was already out of school. But obviously their marriage wasn't anything to go by because it wasn't working at all. So I didn't have a good idea of how to function in that area and messed up a lot with boys, especially physically, like did everything wrong, went a lot of, like quite a few bad relationships, couldn't stand for purity at all. And then, later on in my life, I really got to know the Lord properly and got spirit-filled and baptized. And then I met Yaku here in Shofar. And by that time, he'd never dated a girl. He was single up until that time. And I have to tell you, if a guy's 22 and he's never had a girlfriend, then it's not because he's not amazing, because he is amazing. The only way a guy of that caliber gets to be 22 without having a girlfriend is because he deliberately made the choice to not look at girls, be interested in girls, just follow hard after God. So that was what he was doing. And I, on the other hand, hadn't done that at all. So I just fell completely head over heels in love. This guy was just so awesome. And I gave my heart away completely without him even pursuing me. He was just so awesome. And I really didn't guard my heart at all. So God had to intervene in a very powerful way using two things. First of all, my brother and Engineering Week. And very spiritual thing, Engineering Week. So just when I was completely convinced he's going to ask me out any moment now, Engineering Week happened and he disappeared off the radar completely. And my world ended. And girls, here, I just want to say to you, don't read so much into the actions. If you're wondering what it means, it probably doesn't mean anything. Okay? So, my world ended. I was in tears, emotionally, completely broken down. And that's when my older brother stepped into the picture. Luckily, he's saved and he's looking out for his little sister who's pretty useless at all of this. So he phones Yaku and sits him down and says, "What are you doing, guy?" And Yaku's like, "What am I doing with what? I don't know what you're talking about." So my brother says to me, "Okay, you better change your strategy. You better get out of here because this guy isn't pursuing you, even though you've conjured up this image of how he is." Okay? So I, for the first time, got it right. And I completely took off, ran, didn't make contact, didn't allow him to see me, disappeared completely. And then he was like, "Why does my life suck all of a sudden? So that kind of got him into a wake-up call, which is what you want, ladies. That's what you want. So for the first time, he was like, wow, I think I like this girl because I don't know what's going on, but I have all these emotions and I don't know what to do with it. And then he had a good chat with Philip, and Philip kind of helped him to get out of the blocks and get going. And thanks, Philip. Well, Philip and God. And then he started pursuing me, and we started dating. And for the first time, I was in a place where he could actually pursue me and win my heart. And he really had to fight for it then, because I was really not sitting around anymore waiting for him. So then he had a fight to fight. And ladies, that's something that God taught me continuously throughout our relationship, through the rest of it, is it's not just about purity, it's about mystery as well. And God had to walk a road with me about how to guard my heart in the relationship as well and be mysterious and give him something to pursue, because that's what you want all through the relationship. And God really taught it to me in small things. And I want to encourage you to ask God what you have to do to stay mysterious, because it's not boundaries and emotional boundaries. It's not only about being in a safe place, but it's about being mysterious as well. And that is what you want. So, yeah, obviously then we had to fight the whole purity battle. And obviously for him it wasn't that hard, because he'd never kissed a girl up until then. And we only kissed after we were engaged, like right before we got married. I think like a week before we got married, he kissed me for the first time. And people have often asked me, wow, wasn't that hard? And I want to say to you, like, I've been there. I like stepped over all the boundaries. And it's easier to stay pure. If you want to pursue a relationship with God, it's easier to fight the battle in the shallow waters where you are still in control. It's easier to make the choice to go home at 11 o'clock or to, you know, not spend time together late at night or whatever. It's easier to do that than to deal with the damage of sin in your life and that separation from God. That's something much harder to deal with. So no, it's not that hard. You can do it. It's a tougher choice to make. You have to step up and take on the battle, but it's an easier battle. So just be encouraged in that. And then what I also want to say to you, just in terms of that physical things, something God had to teach us, especially for the guys of you who don't have a clean history with that. The same grace that washed me clean is the grace that kept him clean. It's not better. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be where I am, and he wouldn't have been where he was. Okay, so it's really the same grace that kept me clean, that washed me clean and that kept him clean. So just be encouraged in that. And then just fast forward to my marriage day, just to testify about that, like the fruit of purity is really so, so wonderful, because on our marriage day, we got to celebrate that purity, and that was really what it was. And I can really testify that the people who were there could feel it, that this is a celebration of purity. And to know afterwards that people actually got saved because of being at our wedding, because they experienced God for the first time and experienced him in such a real and tangible way that it actually changed their lives. And that's how powerful this stuff is. So it can really change people's lives. And then, yeah, what basically happened is I grew up on a plot next to this beautiful old little church, and I always knew I wanted to get married there. And then when we had to choose a venue, I just said to Yaku, we have to get married there. And I can't tell you why, but you have to trust me on this one. That's our wedding venue. So it was fine. And then what happened is I never told him why we have to get married there. But on this little pamphlet that you put in the church for people, on the front of that, I wrote a piece that I felt God lay on my heart that I should write. And that was the first time Yaku ever heard this. So I'm just going to read this to you, and keep in mind that he read this for the first time just before I walked down the aisle. And it's really just a testimony of God's grace. I'm really sorry, Philip, for using my phone. I know you don't like it, but I had to translate it and email it to myself on my way here. So I wrote, as a young girl, I would often climb over our fence and come here to walk in the church's gardens, or to come and sit in the still empty building to be with the Lord. One specific day, as I stood in the church's door, I felt the Holy Spirit say clearly to me, "You are my bride, and Jesus is your bridegroom. Now walk down the aisle as if you are my bride." I walked down the aisle like a bride on her wedding day, and for the very first time, the words of Isaiah 54, verse 5 became a reality to me. He who formed you is your husband. His name is the Lord Almighty. Today, I will walk down the same aisle to meet my earthly husband, knowing that by grace alone, he is worthy to represent Jesus to me. And by the same grace, I am worthy to represent the heavenly bride, the church, because as Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, I was scarlet red from sin, but I have been made white as snow. So that's just something that I hope can encourage a few of you to, you know, to do this God's way and have fun while doing it as well. That's all.
Great. Thanks, Mia. This evening, I'm wanting to speak to us a little bit, as it says up there, the art of the chase. And it's crazy how this always works. Tonight, all the married people pitched up. So afterwards, you can talk to them and ask them, but how really did you get it right? But just want to check again, because I know Van had asked last night, but I was sitting at the front and I couldn't really see. How many of you here are single, like not in a relationship at all at the moment? Okay. Ladies, keep your hands raised. Huh? Okay. We're going to do this all the time until somebody catches a wake up. And how many of you are in a relationship? Okay, a bunch of you. And how many of you are engaged? Yeah, Yvette and Robbie and at the back, Herman. And then who's married here tonight? Great stuff. A whole bunch more than last night. Welcome, everybody. It really is good to have you here. And we've had a good week so far. I've really enjoyed being here. And I really enjoyed Werner last night. He's always good for a couple of laughs. And just a bunch of really solid truth as well. So this evening, I'm wanting us to talk a little bit about the art of the chase. Now, this isn't only beforehand, before sort of you meet this person and you sort of start the relationship. I'm going to say it in that context, but these same principles will apply all the way through, all the way to the point where you're married, and the married people, ladies, you'll be totally confused about this, but the men, you'll know that the great thing about the way God's designed it is you love exploring. And when you married that woman, you didn't realize it, but you weren't marrying one woman. You can see, as beautiful and precious and amazing as she is, just as you think you figured her out, you wake up one day and she's a different woman. And she doesn't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on except you get to rediscover her right from the start and you get to win her heart again. It's like 50 first dates in real life, you know. It's part of the joy of the way God's put this together. You don't need to go looking for another woman to rediscover a woman. You just get to rediscover your wife every couple of months or every couple of years. And that's really good fun. So these principles are applicable all the way through. And I'm going to contextualize them, and sort of the examples we're going to use is mostly with regards to in the lead up to the build up to starting a relationship. And as well in that relationship, sort of leading up to the engagement. I think the first thing, and possibly the most important of the whole bunch, is to make sure we're looking to the right source. If you're looking for a husband, you're looking for a wife, which is predominantly why most of you are here tonight. Some of you have found that husband or wife, and you just want to just make sure you marry the right person. I'm joking. It's so important that, as Werner also shared last night, we start at the right place, looking to the right source. I love what Proverbs says here. It says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You can look from wherever, looking where you're going to get a good wife from. The reality scripture holds before us, there's only one place you're going to get a good wife from, and that's from God. Look to Him to be the provider. Mark 10 says, as we spoke about on Sunday night, therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. It's God who will bring the two of you together. And this is the first hurdle that most of us have to overcome. The first hurdle, and Kewen spoke about it on Monday evening for those who were here, that hurdle of stepping away and trusting God in our relationships. I love the question that Werner started with yesterday. Do you love the idea of being married more than you love Jesus? Are you pursuing thinking of getting married more than you are thinking of growing in your relationship with Christ? And I think that's such a sober question to be asking ourselves all the time. But to look to the right source. I love what Psalm 37 says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Now I want to encourage you in that as you start off, whether you're in a relationship already or whether you're trusting one day to be in a relationship, the best place to do that, the best way is to step back and to say, God, I'm really going to trust you. For people, I wish I could say our age, but it's not quite relevant anymore. People, most of your ages sitting here. This is probably the truest test of do I trust God? Especially if you're single. Later on, finances and those things start playing a big role. But probably the truest test, do I really trust God, is in how am I pursuing relationships? For the men as well as for the ladies. Lord, I'm going to step back and let you, and as Kewen said, and God, if it only happens over 10 years, I'm fine with that as long as I've got you. And that's something which is easy to say in our head. It's something totally different to really mean from our hearts. And we've got to trust the Holy Spirit to stir that place of wholeness in us. And I'm going to speak more about that. But it's just the first question that we really need to ask ourselves. In my relationship, if I'm in the relationship, or if I'm not in a relationship yet with my dream of a relationship, a marriage one day, do I really trust God? And I want to encourage you, you can. Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But before He gives you the desires, you first have to learn to delight in Him. And He will. That's such a beautiful promise. He will give you that desire. What might happen is as you start to delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to realize you've been delighting yourself in a whole bunch of other stuff, and He's going to transform and heal your desires. And in a sense, He's going to give you the desire, not the outcome of the desire itself He's going to give you. And then He'll fulfill that desire that He's placed in your heart. First and foremost is look to the right source. And then we're going to be speaking about the art of the chase, as I said. Boy meets girl, coming together, that process. A really important question, and we need to be asking ourselves, is in this chasing, who's meant to be doing the chasing? Who's meant to be the one that's looking? Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Just before I expand on that, just going back to the previous point, I had a conversation with a guy today, and he was just talking about relationship, and he's in a relationship, and you know, just thinking about where to from here in the relationship. And then he said such a sober thing. He said, but there's no need to rush. And I want to say the same to you, if you're in a relationship or if you're single, there's no need to rush. In Afrikaans, we've got a saying, you know, sometimes you buy an avocado. I don't eat avos, so I don't buy avos, but other people apparently do. And you see them do it, and then the avo is lying there in the bowl, and it's rock hard. And the more you squeeze it, you're sort of hoping that the more I'm squeezing this thing, the quicker it's going to become ripe. Is that kind of what avo people do? You squeeze this green thing, hoping that if I squeeze it long enough, hard enough, it's going to actually become ripe suddenly. That principle translates perfectly into our marriage, perfectly into our relationship status. You can't squeeze it ripe. You can't now suddenly say, okay, God, now is the right time for relationship. What you can do is you can delay the process by being disobedient to God. You can delay the becoming ripe by not following Him, by messing up, by being in the wrong relationship. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. If you're in the wrong relationship, that means you're probably not going to be in the right relationship at the same time. Because if you're seeking a godly relationship and you're in a relationship with somebody and you're seeking somebody who's godly, the chances are they're not even going to think too much about you if you're in a relationship with somebody else already. Does that make sense? Because they're seeking God and they know the one thing they're not going to do is, okay? They're not going to get involved with somebody who's already involved. So you're being involved with the wrong person could potentially delay your meeting the right person. Don't try and squeeze, trust the Holy Spirit and say, God, you know when the time is ripe. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on you, keep myself plugged into the tree or whatever, standing in the sunlight, whatever makes an apple become ripe at the right time. I'm going to be doing that, God, but pressurizing it isn't going to change anything. If anything, I'm just going to spoil the avo. Who should be looking? And Scripture is really clear about that. He who finds a wife. Scripture very deliberately doesn't say she who finds a husband. It doesn't say who can find a virtuous or a hunk husband. Okay. And there are two sides to this coin. On the one hand, girls, you get to relax. But we'll speak about this now. It's an active relaxation. Okay, we'll speak about that now. But girls, you really get to relax because speaking to someone and kind of, he really phrased it well and there's no better way to put it. He just said, it's ugly. There are few things as ugly as when a girl is chasing a guy. There's few things as unattractive to a man than a girl who's knocking on your door all the time. And ladies, you need to, and this is what I'm saying, right from the start, you need to trust the Holy Spirit. You need to trust the Holy Spirit, His faithfulness. You need to trust the person that you've got an eye on, His ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and pray for Him and all of that. But the worst thing, one of the ugliest things you can do is when we start getting this wrong and we've got girls starting to chase men. There really is very little attractive about that. As a matter of fact, as this guy said today, girls, it's ugly. Who should be looking? The guy should be looking. So that's the flip side, is girls, they need to be looking. The other side is guys, you need to be looking. If you're sitting here, and don't misunderstand me, this is important that you get this, and you're single, and it's not because right now you feel you want to be single. You getting me? You're single, but not because you're saying, God, I don't think that this right person is there. Let me flip it differently. If you're sitting here and you're single, but at the same time, you know, as I said on Monday night, it's not about a relationship, it's about a person. Wanting a relationship is the first mistake, but wanting to spend time and be with a specific person, that's actually what a relationship's all about. There is that person, but there's nothing happening. Do you know whose fault that is? Not hers. You with me? Who's meant to be the active one in this process? The guy, you're meant to be the active one. If she's saying, no, get away from me, then what do? Then you go back to God and you say, God and my friends, am I hearing right? Because I need to respect her wishes. So God, you either need to change something in her heart or you need to change something in my heart. But the one thing that you're definitely not going to do is you're not going to force her into a relationship. You're not going to win a girl's heart by disrespecting her, guys. If a lady says, please leave me alone, and you start SMSing her at 2 o'clock in the morning and rocking up on a door, whatever, do you know what you do? You're not winning her heart, you're pushing her away. Huh? Because we're going to look at this later. The one thing that she's looking for more than anything else in her husband is she's looking for somebody she can trust. She can't trust a guy who comes knocking at her door 2 o'clock in the morning after she's told him, please don't come here. You're not building trust, you're destroying trust. Who should be looking, guys? It's your job to be looking. Okay, so we're looking to the right source and we're understanding the guy's meant to be looking. Any hunters here? Anybody who's ever gone hunting? Okay, I like hunting. I think hunting's really cool. And I think everybody here has at least watched Bambi or something. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit in that context. Because, you know, obviously it's lighthearted, but it's a really good analogy to the process involved. We don't talk about pursuing for nothing. Pursuing speaks about the hunting process. So we're going to use that as a little bit as an analogy. So the first thing we need to do, you know, guys, when you start getting ready and you start packing for the buck here, because you're now going to go hunting. You know, you're going away for the weekend on a hunting trip. There are a couple of things that you need to do. You need to pack. You need to get ready. Practically, how does that translate into our lives? First and foremost, while you're single, before you start hunting, pursue wholeness. On the CD that we've got with sort of sessions from the previous years, and I think we've got some here, and we'll definitely have someone a whole bunch on Sunday again. I do a whole session just around the fact, I think I said it the other night as well, that two halves, when it comes to relationships, two halves don't make a whole. Because relationships in that sense is more multiplication than addition. So two halves make a quarter. Or less, what's it? Half times a half is 0.025 or whatever. Huh? It's not much, okay? It's less than a whole. Two halves don't make a whole. You can't, if you're looking, and I said this is what I was trying to get across on Monday evening, if you're looking for wholeness in a relationship, you're looking for it in the wrong place. Except if that's a relationship with Christ. But if you're looking for wholeness, to have areas in your life patched up by a person, you're being completely unfair towards that person. What we are wanting to do is, as we go into relationships, is not say I'm perfect, not say I'm issueless, but I've come to a point of wholeness. I've come to a point of emotional maturity where I'm not in this relationship to get from you as much as I'm here to give from you. And every healthy relationship, that's the number one requirement that you're going to have to bring in there. You're going to have to bring in there a heart to say, I'm willing to give a lot more in this relationship than I'm planning to get from this relationship. I'm going to give even if I don't get, because there's something about you, and that's what love's all about. I've got a little daughter who's 365 days old today, which is pretty cool. And her sister. And right now, the sister, I'm starting to get something from the sister a little bit because she's a little bit older. But you know, the young one, you hardly ever get in an emotional sense anything from her apart from just the joy of being with her. She doesn't have capacity to give. And as a dad, because I love her, that's fine. I've got no problem. I'm not sitting there with the ledger counting up the hours, the money, the cent that I'm spending on her, the ice creams I'm buying for her on her birthday and all of that stuff. And now one day you're going to pay me back because I'm keeping score. But sometimes we come into relationships like that. We come in with our ledger and we're balancing the books all the time. Am I getting out what I'm putting into this relationship? The first thing we need to understand is you're not going to get out what you're going to put in. And when that begins to settle in your heart, you're going to suddenly start getting out a heck of a lot more than you were putting in. But it's one of those mysteries with God that gear only switches once that switch happens in your heart. Then all of a sudden, you start getting a heck of a lot out of that relationship. So guys, you're pursuing wholeness. Wholeness starts with a healthy relationship with Christ, being in a good church, having good friends around you. Wholeness starts there. We've got this great series of foundation and encounter series at our church, all aimed at helping people just come to a place of wholeness, not perfection, just wholeness. Where we're not looking for stuff to get stuff out of other people. So firstly, pursuing wholeness. Secondly, we're pursuing holiness, which is different to wholeness. Wholeness speaks about emotional maturity. Holiness speaks about a reflection of Christ. What holiness also speaks about is learning to appreciate what God appreciates, learning to find attractive what God finds attractive, and learning to find beautiful what God finds beautiful. Because there's a whole picture that the world holds before us about what beauty is. The only problem is most of that is photoshopped and doesn't really exist. It's all just a fake image that the world holds before us of perfection. And then we start coming to the Holy Spirit, and He says to us what He said to Samuel about the boy David. He says, man looks at the outside, but I look at the heart. And we need to learn that process of being able to see what God has placed within people, to see and to appreciate what God appreciates in people, and learn to value in people what God is, what God values in people. Part of holiness is we begin to understand that I value what God values, and the stuff that's attractive to me is the stuff that's attractive to God. Scripture says, you who love righteousness, hate evil. We need to learn what it means to hate evil, but at the same time to love the people that God has placed around us. So pursue wholeness, pursue holiness, and then, very important, you arrive at the farm and now you take your gun out and it's been a bumpy road or whatever. You need to do some target practice. Jy moet seker maak jou geweer skiet nog reg uit, you know. If the scope needs to adjust a little bit, how do you do target practice? As I said on Monday night, by relating to other people. Learning how to relate in a healthy way to the guys and the girls around you, just friends. Just learning, how do I speak to people? How do I speak to girls? One of the things I had to learn coming out of our house, we were four boys in the house. Some people say my mom's automatically going to heaven. I don't understand that theology at all. No girls, just the four boys in the house. One of the things I had to learn is I had to learn how to communicate to ladies. There's some stuff that you just don't see. You can say it to your brother, but you can't say it to a girl. I had to learn that the hard way. I'm not going to give you any examples now, but... But some of you, if you go home and you sit on your bed and you just get honest with yourself, you've never learned that. Ladies, in the same way, some of you have never learned how just to talk to guys. Guys walk into a room and you freak out and you go out that door. You've never learned just to be comfortable around men, just who you are as a person around men or around women, whatever your situation may be. And I want to encourage us just... really learn to relate well to the people around you. Girls, what do? You pursue wholeness as much as he pursues wholeness. You pursue holiness as much as he pursues holiness. And then be in the herd. You know, if you go hunting, the hardest animals to find are the animals that walk by themselves. The ones that aren't herd animals. The herd is easy because the herd's somewhere over there. I can track the herd. I can find the herd. I can follow the herd. In other words, what does that mean? That means you're going to have interaction with guys. Because it's really hard for you if you've isolated yourself. You don't have friends. You don't have lady friends. It's going to be very hard for you to just establish healthy friendship with guys. Because the only relationships you're going to have with them are one-on-one type relationships. Whereas you're in a group, it's a place of safety, you can talk to other girls, and please girls, you need to do that a lot. It's healthy for you. Have your friends around you that you can talk to. That guy said that to me, what does he mean? Like me, I said, probably nothing. But if you're wondering about what he's not meaning anything. But you need to learn from one another. The guy did this. He SMS'd me about what time tomorrow's test was. I think he likes me, you know. And we laugh because it's so true. Am I right, ladies? What he probably wants, and this is where it's great for you to be able to go to a friend and show him the SMS or the WhatsApp or the Facebook message or whatever you guys do nowadays and say, look, I think he's attracted. No, he just wants to know what time the test is tomorrow. Because he knows that you're in class and he wasn't, and he knows you know everything because you like the voorbeeldige student and he's not. There's safety in a herd. In a good and in a healthy way. I'd encourage you girls, surround yourself by good, strong, healthy lady friends. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself. And enjoy your life. Don't sit around waiting for a guy to come and sweep you off your feet and now suddenly your life's going to start. Because a guy is probably not looking for a girl who doesn't have a life. He's not looking to find a girl so that he can kickstart her life. He's looking for a girl who's got a life. So have a life. Okay. Proverbs 18:24 holds a really important principle for us here. If a man and a woman applies it the same way here, has friends, he must himself be friendly. Ladies, you don't know this, but one of the things that a guy is going to look at is who are your friends and how do they relate to you? Because if you don't have any friends in life, then unless he's, and we'll get to this just now, the type that's looking for to save you, because sometimes we go into relationships for those reasons. Maybe just, I'll run ahead of myself and do this now. Probably the number one warning sign, girls and guys, because both sides of us are guilty of this, is we think we're going to save people. We think we're going to help people. We see a broken person and we want to go into a relationship with them to help fix them. The afflerkie syndrome. And we've got friends like that a little bit who we see them drawn towards broken people. And please, as a Christian, be drawn towards broken people. We must be. Christ is close to the brokenhearted. To be their friend, to pray with them, to support them, not to marry them. We don't marry broken people because we don't bring. And I'm not talking about broken here in the sense where I'm broken before God and I'm surrendered to Him. I'm talking about just broken on the inside. Just not being whole. And as we befriend them, we lead and we trust God to bring them to a place of wholeness so that from a place of wholeness they can go into a relationship. But guys and girls, can I tell you what? That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they get into a relationship with somebody thinking, I'm going to help heal them. You're not. You're just going to help break yourself in the process. Or at worst, totally frustrate yourself and maybe not find a whole person who's actually looking for you at the same time. Man who has friends must himself be friendly. Girls, make sure you've got friends. Guys, make sure you've got good friends. Because if you don't have any friends, she's going to ask herself, why not? Same way, ladies, if you don't have any friends, he's going to ask himself, something's maybe wrong here. Why doesn't anybody want to be around her? Why doesn't she want to be around anybody? Maybe there's a little bit of something that's hidden there. Okay, so prepare for the hunt. And as I said just now, take your time. There's no rush. I said on Sunday night, the median age for marriage in South Africa, for first-time marriage in South Africa for ladies is 29 and for men is 32. Now, for some of you, that seems like an next millennium until you're 29 or 32. That's the median. In other words, kind of for every, let's say, 21-year-old lady that gets married, there's probably a 37-year-old lady getting married for every 21-year-old lady getting married. And that spectrum, wherever. As long as you're pursuing Christ, you need to trust Him for the right time in your life. Whether that's 21, 31, or 61, whatever it may be. Trust that God's hand is upon your life for good. Okay. Then, once you've prepared, you know how you've learned how to shoot, you've yet no van jag, You know how to load the gun. You know all of that stuff. You've learned to relate to people. You're comfortable about people of the opposite sex. You don't get intimidated when a girl or a guy walks into the room. You can relax around people. Then the important thing is to start looking in the right place. And this is really obvious, mentioned on a couple of times, I think on Sunday or somewhere as well. If you're looking, let's say, like we said on Monday night, number one point in our list that we're looking for is somebody who seeks the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his or her heart. They want to follow Jesus more than anything else. Well, then you need to ask yourself, where am I likely to find or meet somebody like that? Probably not in the pubs all over the place. Probably in a place that's helping and leading him in wholeness and in maturity. You know, start going to the missions meetings or whatever. God will sort you out on the mission and then you can come back and you can get in a relationship. Guys, look in the right place. Guys, if you're going to go looking for a wife in a club, in the square, wherever it may be, then just make a peace with the fact of the type of person you're probably going to find there. Don't suddenly be surprised when you find somebody who, after 2 months, you realize isn't really seeking after the Lord's heart. Because they're not supernaturally going to change now that they come in a relationship with you, because you're not Jesus. We only change when we come into a relationship with Jesus. In the same way, ladies, be in the right place. Be there where you're going to be pursuing wholeness, and be in the right place where a guy who's looking for the qualities you have is probably going to be looking. I think that's pretty obvious. I'm going to spend too much time on that. Then, specifically for the guys and for the ladies as well, know what you're looking for. Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." We'll get to that now. It's a little bit like when you go hunting. If you arrive on the farm and you say, "Well, I'm just going to shoot whatever walks across my road. You know, I'm just trigger happy. Whatever sits in front of the scope, I'm going to shoot." You know, if that's where you're at, that's okay. But if you're looking for that prize animal, ladies, please, I'm not saying that in a demeaning way. Please don't misunderstand me at all. I'm not trying to be demeaning at all. But if you're looking for the trophy prize, maybe you're looking for the big kudu bull or whatever it is. Kudu cow maybe is a better example. But you're looking for that big kudu. If you arrive on that farm and you don't actually know what you're looking for, then you're going to get swayed by everything all the time. Oh, yes, sounds like impala over there, or, you know, there's wildebeest track leading in this direction. Whatever it is, you're going to get swayed by whatever happens to be closest. If you arrive there and you say, "I know what I'm looking for," you're far more likely to find what you're looking for. And what are we as guys and what are girls looking for? And my wife tells me I'm right when I say this. Maybe ask ladies. If you want to reverse back like half a year to when you were in matric. Just kidding. Who was the most sought after, most popular, most attractive, whatever guy in the school? The head boy? Or who else? If it wasn't the head boy, then who was it? Sorry? The rugby captain? And if it wasn't the same person, the rugby fly half. Am I right, ladies? Why is that? It's because Scripture says a lady's primary attraction to a man, what is she looking for? Girls, you're attracted to successful guys, guys who are good at what they're doing. One of the reasons why there's so many messed up relationships, or so many relationships that get messed up at work, because here's a woman who sees her husband at home and she sees her colleague doing what he's good at all the time and she's attracted to that. Same when you're at school, you get attracted to the guys who are excelling at what they're doing. Girls, you're drawn to success. You're drawn to guys who are good at what they're doing because it projects authority. And you interpret that as this is someone that I can respect. Your primary, let's call it, expression of love, ladies, is respect. That's the way God built it into you. You're looking for somebody that you can respect. Guys, what are you looking for? You're drawn to vulnerability. We're drawn to somebody that we feel we can wrap our arms around and protect and care for. That's what we're looking for. And that to me is one of the saddest things about this whole feminist movement that says women must be so strong in this and that. It just means that which Christ has designed them and created them to be and that which is most attractive to a guy, they're walking away from that and they're not allowing that to come out. One of the things that I love seeing, sure she won't mind me saying it because she said it herself a couple of times, one of the girls who was a student with us went on a missions trip and we were in, where was that trip? Harare. And she was sitting, I remember right at the end, her big thing was she was hot ass. Alice was hardachat. She always said that. Why? I can do this because I'm hot ass. And then, at the end of the trip, we sat there in a group and we said, you know, let's trust God to reward us for our time here. And I just want everyone just to share one or two things that the rest of us can pray for. Something that you trust in God for that will be really special for you in your life if Christ does that. And let's pray about that. I remember her thing. She said, ek wil nie meer so hard as wees nie. And she came back and, you know, God dealt with her. She got into a relationship. And you know, one of the most precious things watching her life was watching how she softened in the relationship with a guy. It's like a flower that blooms. There's this little bud and all of a sudden it opens up. That vulnerability, that softness that opens up. That guys are so drawn to. That's one of the reasons, guys, why sometimes we think we're going to fix the girl. Because we're drawn to that. But we need to understand that we can't fix them. That Christ hasn't called us to fix people in a marriage sense. He's called us to do that in a ministry sense. But then as we wrap our arms around that vulnerability, that's what we want to do. Guys, manne wat getroud is, that's what you want to do with your wives. You want to see when they're struggling with something, when the thing is too heavy. I remember I had a friend at Varsity who said, she can't wait to find a husband because she needs somebody to carry her heavy stuff. You know? But we're drawn to that. We want to be there and protect and shield and cover. So that's what we're looking for. And as a rule, generally, just every guy on the planet's wired in that way. Practically for us now, you know you're looking for, let's take a herd animal, you're looking for a bokkie, a rooibok, okay? Now you've heard the bleating over there, you know, there's a rooibok troppie, and now you start getting close to the herd. And you're all in stealth mode, and you're checking out this herd, and you've got your binoculars or your gun scope, and you're scanning, and you're looking for the one. You're looking for the right one that you're going to focus your telescope on, and later on, we'll get to that later on, but you're looking for the one. So guys, what are you looking for? Physical beauty? Tell you what Scripture says about physical beauty. Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. At the beginning, there better be physical attraction and there will be physical attraction. Because the physical attraction is what's going to make you zoom and lock in. But the reality is that beauty is going to pass. Used them the other day again, but I'll use it again. You know, Tiger Woods married probably one of the most beautiful women on the planet. But then after a while, somebody else comes along because, you know, you've gotten used to, and in a natural, just plain physical sense, when something's really pretty, just whether it be a flower or whatever, you know, if you've looked at that thing for a long time, it sort of loses its allure a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the next flower comes along and this one's prettier. And in the world, in the natural, that's what happens with the physical stuff as well. There's always going to be somebody prettier. There's always, because your wife isn't always going to be 21. At some stage, she's going to be 41, 51. And you're going to go to work and there's going to be a physically, from what Cosmopolitan holds before us, or Maxim or FHM or whatever other magazines you're going to go and burn tonight. There's a prettier 21-year-old. Now, if the only thing that's drawn you to that woman was her prettiness, the moment something prettier comes along, then you're just going to hop from prettiness to prettiness and miss the whole point of what God wants for us. Charm is deceitful and its beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord. Guys, you're looking for that woman who's got her heart so set on Christ. I love that quote. A woman should so have a heart, or should have a heart so set in God that a man must seek God to get it from him, or something along those lines. But her heart must be so hidden in God that the only way it's going to come out of that is if God releases that heart to that man. A godly man's going to find that attractive. He's looking for wholeness in a woman, as we spoke about now, and gentleness. That vulnerability, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We're all meant to have it. Proverbs 27 says, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. I don't know how many of you have tried to pick up oil, not a can of oil, pick up oil with your hand. The message says, a nagging spouse is like the drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You can't turn it off and you can't get away from it. Ladies, pursue gentleness. On the CD, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing now. I really wish I could. My wife and I did two sessions. I did a session on, I must get this right now because I messed it up the other night. Just expanding this on, just in a lot more detail. I spoke about what a guy wants and should want. And the ladies, I'd encourage you to listen to that so you can know what a godly guy is looking for. And guys, look at it. Listen to that so you can know what a godly guy should be looking for. And my wife did one for the ladies, what a girl wants. And for the around the ladies, for what a, you guys know what I'm saying. Okay, I can't get that right. Girls, seek what 1 Peter 3 says. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle, here we see that gentleness again, and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And I want to add there, if it's precious in the sight of God, it's going to be precious in the sight of His sons too. If somebody has been following God, God's going to have worked this in his heart to want what God wants. What is precious in the sight of God? A gentle and a quiet spirit. Some translations talk about a peaceable spirit. It says, don't let your adornment be merely outward. Please note the merely there. It says, don't let it not be outward, but don't let it only be outward. A guy is probably not looking for a supermodel. And if he is looking for a supermodel, then he needs to get saved. But what a guy is looking for with regards to physicality, just the physical appearance, he's looking for a woman who values herself enough to make effort with her own appearance. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for the next cover girl for a magazine. He just wants to see, do you love yourself enough in a healthy way? Do you care enough about yourself to make sure that you're looking presentable and you're looking good? And one of the great things is every guy on this planet physically is wired differently with regards to what is beautiful. I remember at school, you know, talking about different actresses or whatever because they're all out there. And this guy's got a crush on this actress and this guy's got a crush on this actress. And they've all got crushes on different actors, all 20 guys. Because we're all drawn to different characteristics. So whatever you have, whatever God has given you, whatever package God's put you in, steward it, look after it, but be comfortable with it. Don't think that if I could, you know, have a different nose or different ear or different hair or different whatever, then some guy's going to like me. God wasn't confused when he made the guy that he's called to be, but his purpose for you to be in relationship with. He's not stupid about this. He said, I'm making her look like that, so I'll make that attractive to him. And as he grows in purity before God, you know what? He's going to start looking way beyond your physical appearance, and he's going to, like God said to Samuel, look at the heart. Any guy who marries a girl because of what she looks like, I can promise you that marriage is not going to last 6 months, never mind 6 years. But a guy who marries a woman because of what her heart looks like, that marriage will stand the test of time. So don't let your adornment be merely outward, but also outward. Just show that you care yourself enough to look after yourself. Because it says a heck of a lot about yourself when you're not looking after yourself. What is another thing a guy's looking for, just very quickly? He's looking for confidence, not arrogance, not I'm the most amazing person on this planet, but God has made me amazing. A humility that comes out of a relationship with Christ, but which gets carried across as a confidence. I'm okay with who I am. And looking after yourself in a physical way presents confidence. No guy is looking for the girl who's screaming under the bench so that nobody sees them at the party or whatever. The guys, you're going to be attracted to the girl who stands up and can talk, not the bombastic one jumping on the tables going crazy necessarily. Not the one who's in everyone's face all the time. Obviously, if you've got a bubbly personality, that's fine. But what I'm talking about is just somebody who's got the confidence in who they are. Not trying to be somebody else and not trying not to be anybody. And that comes out of a place of wholeness. In the same sense, self-worth. And as I said, he's looking for vulnerability. And there are a whole bunch more. As I said, my wife and I each did a whole session around that. Guys and girls, beware of charm and flattery. Guys, beware of a charmful and a flattering lady. Scripture's got a lot to say about that. Ladies, beware that you're not that girl. Ask your friends. When you're in the herd, say, listen. Do I conduct myself well around other guys? And hope that there's somebody in there honest enough who's going to tell you, you know, you're a bit of a flirt. At least somebody who's got the honesty to tell you that in love so that you can grow. Beware charming guys and flattering guys. And guys, beware of a girl who's charming people. I'm not talking about a charmful, a nice person. I'm talking about this girl who's always She's always around guys. She's always looking to attract guys. She's always looking for a guy's attention. That's just a sign of not being whole. Somebody agrees. Okay. So beware charm and flattery, guys and girls. And then a couple of questions that I want to put out for you there. Obviously, if you're married, don't even bother asking these questions anymore. But for the rest of you, if you're looking at somebody, you're in a relationship or you're engaged, here's some really healthy questions to be answering. The first question is, do you want to be with him? Sounds like a stupid question, but sometimes we get so spiritual, we just miss this one. I actually want to be this. I don't want to be with him. If you don't even want to be with him and you're not going out, then just leave it. No one's forcing you to stop it right there. Move your scope on to the next bookie. No, that's not the one for me. Do you want to be with him? As simple as that. Does he or she inspire you to draw closer to God? That, for me, should be a total deal breaker. If the answer to that is no, there's no ways that you should even think about going further with this thing. Does he or she inspire me to draw closer to God? Can you trust him or her? Trust is always earned. Trust reveals character, and character doesn't change overnight. Here's a big one. Do you want your children to be like them? Because they're going to be. That person that's standing in front of you, sitting next to you, wherever you are when you're thinking about this, do you want your children to be like that? Really good, just sobering question. Badened it last night, I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but is there a God connection? You know, is there a spiritual compatibility? Do the two of you pursue God in the same way and have the same passions for Christ and to see His kingdom come and sort of expressed in the same way? Can you connect spiritually in that sense? Can you get excited about the different ways in which God is using one another spiritually? Can you get excited about Him going or her going on missions? Can you get excited about Him or her leading worship? Can you get excited when they're standing up and they're growing in their relationship with Christ? Here's another really good question. What if he or she doesn't change? I think Kewan said it the other night as well, but most women, when they get married, they marry a man thinking he's going to change and he doesn't. And most guys marry a woman thinking she's not going to change and she does. But if that person doesn't change, because the character stuff doesn't change, it's just the outflow and expression of it that changes. And obviously it all changes over time. The only thing that truly changes on the inside is in a relationship with Christ. If that person, if you look at them and you say, if they never change, if they remain like this for the rest of their life, would I be still happy and comfortable living with them? Because you can never marry potential. I want to say to you, you can't date potential even. You date the person that's there right now. You don't date with what you hope they're going to be in 3 years or 4 years from now. I'm not saying you don't have a vision, you can't see them growing, but you need to ask yourself if they don't grow. If they stay exactly as they are today, am I comfortable with that? It's a really, really important question to be asking. And then realize love, as beautiful and as precious as it is not enough. No relationship, no godly relationship can be sustained on love only. 1 Corinthians 13 says, but now remain faith, hope, and love. You need to have faith in that person's character. You need to have hope in your life together. And you need to have love for that person. For me, some of the most heartbreaking relationships is when you can see there's a couple, and normally it's more from the one side than the other side, and normally it's kind of one of these broken, aflerki type people, that there's an incredible love coming towards that person. But at the same time, and sadly it's often the ladies that are the whole ones in this situation, and it's the guys that aren't. She doesn't have faith in his character, and she doesn't really have a hope for his future. But she loves him. And then some of the hardest conversations are to tell her, you know, love is not enough. As romantic as this whole getting married for love idea is, and love must also be there, it can't only be love. And I'm not talking about love versus money type of stuff, that nonsense. I'm just saying, if you can't look at this person and say, man, I'm excited about the road that we potentially can walk together, that's a great problem. You need to look at them and say, I can see so much potentially coming from this. And if that's not there, if that faith and that hope isn't there, then you're in a danger spot. And then, what do your parents say? One of the things we always encourage, I'd always encourage guys to do. Guys, before you ask a girl out, speak to her dad. That sounds extreme, but can you tell you what that will do in her heart for her to trust you? And can you tell you what it will do in her dad's heart for him to trust you with his daughter? If as you're getting to know her, you're doing this hunting thing, you're walking in the bush, you say, hey, that's a really decent specimen over there. And you lay on and you've got the scope. She's in your crosshairs. And before you pull the trigger, you just SMS the owner of the farm. Take a picture of the book here and send it to him. Is this one okay? You know? And obviously that's really weird if the parents stay far. It's really hard to do that. But if you can do that, do you know what? How much that'll settle in her heart and how much that'll settle in her dad's heart going forward? What do your parents say? And obviously, in a relationship, it's a little bit different. obviously looking to engage, when you're getting engaged, this is a really important question. It's not a total deal breaker, because some parents are just plain racist or just ungodly, whatever it may be. But you need to listen, still listen to whatever their concern is. You still need to have respect for the fact that they're your mom and they're your dad. But what do your parents say? What do your friends say? The people in your small group, I said on Sunday night, I think it was, the one place where you don't trust your own ability to hear the voice of the Lord is in this. There's just way too much emotion involved. Doesn't matter how clearly you hear God's voice, you're not going to hear His voice clearly here. You just got too much emotion weighed into this thing. And when you go to your friends sitting in small group praying with you, say, do you guys see what I see? No, dude, you're being stupid. Don't even, that girl, are you crazy? Or that girl, you know, if you really want to, you're welcome to, but kiss your relationship with Christ goodbye. It's your choice. And the same with the guy. That guy, you're really serious about that guy? You think that guy, I remember a while ago someone came to me, and a girl who really follows Christ, a strong leader, she just got a passion to see people's lives change, and fell for this guy who was totally not even close to Christ. And so my wife was speaking to this person, and my wife is far more gentle than me, so I just said to her, just tell her, ask her a simple question. Does she want a husband or a baby? And that sounds really harsh, but the reality is, does she want somebody who's going to stand up and lead her in her relationship with Christ? Or does she want somebody that she's going to have to take a bottle and feed the basics of Christ to? Disciple him, get him to a place where he knows what it is to be saved, to follow God, to pray, all of those things. And then trust that maybe miraculously one day that switch is going to happen where he's now going to be, start taking the lead and she's going to follow. That switch is never going to happen. She's never going to have a husband who's going to lead her spiritually. If right at the start, he's not close to a point of being able to do that. I'm not saying that kind of girls, if you've been following Christ for 7 years and the guy got saved last year, that you can never. I'm just saying he needs to be growing very quickly in that, and not because of your investment into his life, because of other people's investment into his life. You don't want to be discipling your husband. You want him to be your husband. Somebody else must do that. Yes, you're going to walk a road together. But just a simple question that I so often want to ask girls sometimes. Just spiritually, do you want a husband or do you want a baby? Because if you go for that guy, you're welcome to, but realize you've got a baby and the chances are, if anything, that baby's going to turn your heart away from Christ. Far more likely than you are going to turn his heart towards Christ. If you're married, that's totally different because there's covenant involved there. Okay. What do your friends say and what do your church leaders say? Scripture says that they will give an account to you, for you, to God. God's going to ask them about what's happened in your life. And God's not going to ask them for that if God's not going to give them the wisdom to help you in your life. Start listening to. Sometimes we've had to have those hard discussions with people and say, listen, we can see you two really love each other, but I've got really bad news for you. This isn't going to work. Not just because I've got a hunch and didn't sleep well last night, but let's sit down and let's talk about A, B, C, and D. And if we can't resolve A, B, C, and D, then maybe you must be honest with each other that this isn't going to work. Especially if there's conflict, it's so important that you go to the people that God's entrusted your life to, your parents, your friends, and your church leaders. Then, now we're getting to the fun part. Now your friends, your parents, Amal said, is Rach, you've been carrying with this girl, the things going, those sparkles in the eye. I'm trying to think what the English for that might be. Now you're lying in the bush, you've sent the WhatsApp message, the farmer said, is Rach. Okay, you're ready, you load your gun. And now, guys, this is probably the hardest part to get this timing right. Now you wait for a clear shot. You don't want to be shooting into the herd because you're going to be doing some serious collateral damage. You don't want to wait too long because if you wait too long, she may move out of shot. Then you've got to reposition and start again. And here, as I said on Monday evening, you need to learn to trust the Holy Spirit and trust the Holy Spirit in your friends specifically? I'm going to say, is Jaco Alice or? Okay, I'm going to say what I said to Jaco, because Jaco at that stage when the conversation that Mian spoke about just now, Jaco decided that he wasn't going to pursue Mia. And we sat here in Coffee Buzz and I just asked him one question. I said, okay, so how do you feel about another guy asking her out tomorrow? And his face just turned and I could see the lights went on, you know. He was not comfortable with that at all. And I think that night or the next night or whatever, he asked her out. And the rest is history. But sometimes we need to realize that the opportunity of a lifetime must be taken in the lifetime of the opportunity. There's a window of grace, and we need to move within that window of grace when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Have patience and have wise counsel in this patience. Make sure you're not, please don't put on Facebook, what do you guys think about this? You know, put a Facebook question or a poll or a Google form and get everyone to put their, but one or two people you trust. Say, okay, well, what do you guys think? Now? No, not now. Just wait 2 days. No, wait 2 months, whatever it may be. Trust for patience. And girls, trust two things. Trust God. Because by this stage, you know there's a hunter lying in the bush with a gun pointed at you. You've picked it up by now. So now you need to do a couple of things. This is where, now this is where you start getting active. Now you walk and you make sure that there's a boom at this and ons nie. You know? Now you make sure you're not hiding at the back of the herd where you can't see you and where you can't get to you. Now you get a little bit brave and you just step out. You don't go running towards him. The last thing any hunter wants. Just like Jaco and Mia, the last thing Jaco wanted was a girl come running to him. You know, that's like the worst hunting trip of your life. What happened? Now I was sitting there and this buck came and stood next to me and I put my gun against its head and I shot it. You know? That's a cool story to tell, but it takes all of the adventure out of the process. Girls, Mia said it so beautifully. One of the things that a guy needs in the formative parts of the relationship is he must fight for you in a healthy way. His heart needs it. We'll look at this just now, why it's so important. His heart needs to be at a place where he's wrestled a little bit with this thing where it just hasn't just fallen perfectly into his lap. That's not good for the relationship going forward. I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying run away. But when you see this guy's starting to aim, obviously you talking to your friends, you know, you getting your wise counsel involved, you having people check him out and report back to you, you know, your spies are active. They're doing, your intelligence network is running, and I know you ladies have serious intelligence networks going. You know, you pulling, tapping into all of those networks, getting all the information about you, making sure this is the type of guy you're looking for. And then, while you're doing, when you've realized, okay, advanced on it, I have no skit, you know. Can't you just pull the flipping trigger? What's up with this guy? You need to trust two things. Trust, first of all, as we've been saying all along, the working of the Holy Spirit in this process. You're not trusting that guy to get it right. You're trusting God to get it right. Just make that little shift. And then secondly, by now, trust the guy. Choose to trust him. If he's taking his time more than you're wanting, choose to believe it's because he's wanting to do it right and he's not wanting to be stupid. Choose to believe it's because he's praying about it and he's seeking God's face around this. Choose to believe it's because he doesn't want to just run into a relationship where he might hurt you and things go wrong. Choose to trust him. Choose to say, because ladies, unfortunately, it just works this way. You far quicker, like Mia, in that sense, to snap onto this thing and to get right, and you wish the guy would just make a move. The flip side, here you've got a guy who's wanting to follow God, who's wanting to do it right, who realizes the importance of this decision, who realizes that to a large extent it is his decision. Obviously, you're involved in the decision as well. I mean, you can say no and have the liberty and the freedom to say no. But ideally, you'd like to have said no way before we get to this point. You know, how do you say no? Well, just go sit at the back of the herd. You know, just make sure he can't see you. If you're not interested in the guy, don't reply to his SMSs at 11 at night or his WhatsApps at 11 at night. If you're not interested, don't send signs that maybe you might be interested. Get back to him 2 days later. And only if it's a functional communication. If he wants to know what time tomorrow's test is, you know, that's different. But if a guy is sending messages to you and immediately a message is coming back 12:30 at night, you know what he's thinking? He's thinking you're interested. The best thing you can do is just sleep further and tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, just reply factually. Don't put XOXO at the end or something, you know. Doesn't help him. Trust him. And in this trusting, just hang around. Stay within range. Make sure you're there. You're responding. Now when the SMS comes at 11 at night, you're SMSing back. Unless you say, listen, I'd love to chat, but I'm going to go to bed now and you decide what you want to do with your life. I'm going to sleep. And tomorrow night we'll chat again. This is where you're the active bookie now. You're not the running away bookie. You're not the running towards bookie, but you're making sure, you know, kan hy my nog sien all the time, okay? And don't get restless. One of the things that's probably going to make him take even longer is if you start getting restless, because now he's going to start wondering what's going on in her heart, what's going on with him. And this is where you need, ladies, you really, in the sense, you need to start, just sit back and trust. I remember when I was about to ask my wife to get engaged, we've got a place near Hoedspruit, and it's a beautiful place on the river there. And we went away for the weekend, took some people with, don't worry, okay. We weren't engaged yet, and some friends went along, and we had a great weekend. And the next, I think it was a Sunday morning, I was going to ask her to marry me, had the ring there, the yellow story, and went to bed. And the Saturday night, Janetta says to the one friend, she says, "Ek wens hy wou net nou vra om te trou." I wish she just asked me to get married now. What's it taking so long? But I'm so thankful that she never said anything like that to me. You know, I was clever. I always said we're on the 7-year plan. And then kind of once or twice I said, listen, I'm joking about the 7-year thing, but you need to trust me in this with the timing. It's not going to take 7 years, but every time she brought it up, I just said 7 years. Just to help her, just with her expectation management as well. Obviously, I had a plan, but just to help, because I know, ladies, you can get a little bit impatient in this. And then kind of when I did eventually, I asked her, we'd been going out for 6 months, and then I asked her, kind of, it wasn't an eternity that I waited. But she was ready, and I was ready, and the Holy Spirit had prepared both of our hearts. And the next morning when I asked her, she was so glad she forgot to say yes. She just hugged me and just hugged me and hugged me. And then I said, okay, so is that yes? But don't get restless. Then the last step, we're almost done. Now you've done the whole hunting thing. You've arrived at the farm. You know what you're looking for. You found the herd. You've been lying at the herd. You've been scoping out the herd. You find the right one. You got permission. The farmer's lying next to you. You said, yes, you can. That one is reg. Everything's ready. She's positioned herself nicely. Guys, pull the trigger. Or as a friend of mine said the other day, sometimes the thinking is getting in the way of the doing. By this stage, and hear my heart when I say this, you need to stop thinking. By this stage, your friends have said yes. If you've spoken to a dad, he said yes. Everyone's on board with this. What are you waiting for? And then make it special, make it memorable, do something that's going to knock her off her feet. And ladies, have the courtesy to fall when you've got shot, okay? Don't think, ha, now I must play hard to get. And for some reason, some ladies think that way. You know what the guy's going to do? He's going to go back and think he totally missed it. Because this whole process, he's been wrestling with God. And he's made a decision, as I was saying on Monday night, that he's not looking for a relationship as much as he's looking for you. And if your heart is in agreement with that, then when he takes that step of boldness, you make like my wife did and you said yes. Then is not the time to start getting clever and start putting conditions on the table. And by this time, you come to a place of wholeness. I know you. You know me. I'm excited about this. And then we take off. We're on Monday evening. So now we're dating. What now? Okay. Before we pray, I'd like us to pray for each other tonight. Any questions about this? Let's see if we can set a new question record tonight and ask a question. Anybody got a question so far? Yes, to me. Sorry? If the father's not there because he's dead. Or what do you mean? To me, and some of you might not agree with me so much in this, but I honestly believe this is the biblical principle. If the parents are divorced, for argument's sake, whatever it may be, you ask the dad, you inform the mom. Do you get that? That's the biblical mandate. The dad has been given authority in that sense. And obviously, you need to trust the Holy Spirit as well. If she's never met her dad and never dad's never been in her life, that changes everything. But if it's just a household where it's changed, you still honor the dad as the dad of the house. Because it's covenant. Whatever God has put together, man cannot separate. So you honor the dad, and she's really close to her mom. You speak to the mom too. But you approach the mom differently to the way you approach the dad. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, front row questions tonight. Yes. She's asking, at the beginning I said, don't trust the Holy Spirit to hear His voice. And at the end I'm saying, trust the Holy Spirit. Obviously, you need to agree with Him as well. They can't all be saying that and you're saying no. Okay. Your heart needs to be in this. So with regards to which person there, I'm saying trust with regards to the timing. Trust. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Hey, front row, all the way. Where is the right place? There, which is conducive to your wholeness. Does that make sense? First of all, spiritually, in a good, healthy, vibrant church where you're growing. That's number one. Then, just practically, what is it that you're looking for in a guy? If you're looking for sort of an academic PhD type guy, then you're hanging around in the library, you know? If you're looking for a sporty type of person, then you kind of on sports campus. Okay. I'm being a little bit facetious, but that's the point. You're there where the type of person you're looking for is going to be. Okay. Predominantly, for most of us here, that's probably church though. I've met my wife in church. I reckon church is the best place to meet a husband or a wife because you know you're on the same page spiritually, which is the number one primary question that you have. Okay. Does that answer your question? Is that a question at the back? Not okay. Any other questions? Yes, Christoph. The suggested time. That's a really good question. And Christoph, this was as you met the boog skiet. The suggested time is until you find the right targets. Because once again, coming back to Monday night, you're not looking for a relationship. You're looking for a person. And you're going to keep looking until you find that person. The idea isn't, yes, my time's getting up. Son suck, ek moet nou moskiet wat skuif nie. You know? I'll come back tomorrow and the next day, God, until I'm going to find that person. And I think that's really, however long that is, that's how long it is. If it's like Kewan said the other day, like 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks. If it's 20 years, then it's 20 years. Just make a peace with the fact that there's 20 years of singleness. God is going to do awesome things with your life in your singleness because your life doesn't start when you get married. God wants to use single people as much as He wants to use married people. God isn't thinking, no, you must first suffer a little bit and then I'll give you a husband. He's actually got something better planned for you. And that's why for a period, however long that period may be, He's saying, just focus on Him. Keep your eyes focused on the author and the finisher of your faith. And then as you're keeping your eyes focused on Him, He'll make sure you find the right herd at the right time and see the right bokkie in the right spot in Hoopelikraak skiet ook. Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay. Maybe two more questions if there are. And then I'd like us to pray together. Yes. It's hard to say the worst generically because it's going to be different for me than for the other guys. I think as a rule, ladies, and in marriage preparation, we'll talk through this stuff because it's going to be different with the specific person you're with. But as a rule, ladies, learn to speak with reverence to men. Learn to speak while you're single and you're just learning kind of how to communicate. Learn to speak with respect to guys. Don't break them down. Don't tell them how useless and pathetic and whatever else we are that we see on TV that men are meant to be. Learn to build guys up, not with flattering speech, but just with healthy speech. Because probably the worst thing that probably could happen in a marriage relationship with regards to this mostly centers around what you say or what you don't say. There are other things as well, but you know that's a very big component is just the tone and the content of what you're saying. So learn how to speak with respect. Ask your friends. I mean, and that's part of the coming to wholeness, but ask your friends, how do you experience it when I speak to you? Guys have the liberty to say to a girl, you know, listen, I find that very disrespectful when you speak in that way or when you say that. She doesn't have to submit to you. We're not talking about this. We're just helping one another grow to a place of wholeness. In the same way, girls help the guys know that you can't say that to a girl. You know, you can't just look at a girl and as a joke you say that dress makes you look fat. It doesn't work. Doesn't matter how much you're joking about it. Doesn't matter how pretty she is actually in that dress and you just being a little bit funny. It's not a good joke to make. And guys, you'll learn that there's some questions girls ask that don't have answers. They don't. One of those questions is, do I look fat in this? There's no answer. Whatever you say, there's no right answer, and you learn to give, just to deflect it and to give a different answer to that question. Okay, one last question. Yes, over there, and then we. Okay, two more, and then we're done. Yes. When you're sort of single, okay. Okay. I wouldn't. Not that I'm a girl, but obviously you're going to engage with a guy and by all means send him a message. How did your test go? How was your day? But don't be over the top. And it's really hard to say what is over the top and what is not. That comes out of a place of being mature. So, you know, You want him to know that kind of, you're interested in him and who he is and all of that type of stuff, but you don't want to be, happen to drive past his house at 11 o'clock at night and see the lights on and go knock on the door. You know, you don't want to be doing that type of, if he happens to drive past your door at 11 o'clock and see the light is on, that's different. But you don't want to be doing that. That's what I'm talking about. Just trust the Holy Spirit and trust the integrity of the guy involved as well. Remember, just as much as you're figuring this thing out, he's figuring it out too. And give him that grace to make some mistakes in the process. Amogen. That's very, very good question. There's a big difference between being bubbly and being not gentle. Bubbly is full of life, greeting everybody, jumping up and down. Gentle has to do with what's going on in your heart in that process. Am I rowdy and raucous? Because you can be bubbly without being raucous. You can be bubbly without being flirtatious. And I think it's a place of the heart that's at rest and gentle, while at the same time you're fun and bubbly. So don't not be fun and don't not be bubbly if that's who you are. But have a heart that's gentle, that's soft. I think it's a softness more than a quietness in terms of volume and activity in a crowded room. It's a softness and a vulnerability on your heart. Does that help a bit? One of the ways, and very important question, one of the ways, if you're just wanting to be nice, if you're nice to this guy, if you're nice to this guy by himself, 11 o'clock at night, that's dangerous, okay? But if you're nice to him in a group, make sure he sees you not being nice to the guy next to him as well. Immediately, his mind's going to shift from she being nice to me to she's nice. Do you see the difference? Immediately he's going to interpret it, and guys, the same for you. If you go to a party and you make a cup of coffee for the girl in the crowded room, she's going to think there's something going on here. If you go and you make a cup of coffee for five girls, then and they all know they're all five getting coffee, then he's just a servant-hearted guy. Okay, does that help a little bit? So make sure it gets. If the guy thinks you're the only object or the only target of your bubbliness affection or whatever it is, then he's going to think there's something in there. And at the same time, just practically ask your girls, your girlfriends, for tips as well. They'll probably know better than I will in terms of how to conduct yourself. Okay. What I'd like us to do, I know some of you need to go, but I want to ask just for 3 minutes, if you could just turn to the person sitting next to you. And if there's anything in what we've been speaking about tonight that's registered in your heart that you just want to pray over, and if you're a couple, then turn to the other person. Don't turn to your partner. Turn to somebody else. And just say, will you pray with me around this area? Just pray with me into just this thing. And just for 2 minutes, just pray for each other, and then you're more than welcome to go. Thanks so much for your time. Tomorrow night, we'll be back here. And a good friend of ours, Pumelele, will be coming to speak. Pumi, we all know him. So he's speaking to us tomorrow night. And then Sunday night, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock across the road at the school. Okay. Bless you guys. Thanks so much.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like you.